Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Today we commemorate the fathers of the First Ecumenical Council, the council that was held at Nicaea. And we have the icon of the First Ecumenical Council. You see Arius bound up in this dark area in front of all of the bishops, cast into the darkness because he would not repent of the heresy. The council or meeting of all the bishops was called by the Emperor Constantine in 325. And it was called to combat the heresy that Jesus was not truly God. The heresy taught that Jesus did not exist before all ages. And this heresy was led and personified by Arius of Alexandria, who was a priest. The church fathers were faced with and had to combat many heresies. The Nestorian heresy held that Jesus had two distinct persons, God and man, as opposed to the Orthodox dogma that Christ has one person with two natures. This heresy was led by Nestorius, who was a bishop. And heresies are usually the result of a combination of religious fervor and pride. And the result is the division of the church. A heresy, we can find many definitions. One that I found was an opinion held contrary to the teachings of the church. I go, that's good, that'll work. And we can form our own personal heresies, which are usually the result of our pride. And that leads us to falsely conclude that we are more knowledgeable than the scriptures and we're smarter than the bride of Christ, the church. Pride causes us to see our judgment as superior to the teachings of the church. Pride's always been the stumbling block for man and his relationship with God. Adam chose to disobey God because in his pride he wanted to be God, just as the serpent had promised Eve. And we can see that in Genesis in the third chapter. For God knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like gods. And so out of his pride, he did what God had prohibited. Cain killed his brother Abel because his pride was injured when God accepted the offerings of Abel but rejected those of Cain. In Proverbs 16:16 warns that pride brings on sin. And we can look at that proverb. And it says, pride goes before destruction and folly before a fall. There are very few sins that aren't brought on by pride. The prophet Isaiah warns those who think that they know it all. And Isaiah says this in the sixth chapter. Woe to those who are intelligent in their own eyes and expert in their own sight. When we think we know more than the church, when we think we know more than scriptures, when we think we know better, when we think we're more enlightened, we bring on heresy. Dear Lord, I mean, we can see that happening in some of the churches around us. And we should not laugh at our brother's sin. I saw it on the internet yesterday. The Episcopalians have consecrated an open lesbian as a bishop. Because of why? In their pride, they think they're smarter than Scripture. But we ourselves can bring on our own heresies by thinking we're smarter than Scripture or smarter than the church. The Theotokos in the Magnificat, spoken at the Annunciation, proclaims that God has put down the proud. And this is part of what the Theotokos says after the announcement that she would conceive by Michael's announcement that she would conceive of the Holy Spirit. Luke in the first chapter. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts, and he has put down the mighty from their thrones. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. We start to believe all of this folly. We start to believe that we're smarter than everything else. James is very direct in condemning the sin of pride. And James writes this in his letter in the fourth chapter. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud. We saw that happen, and we see that happen in the parable of the publican and the Pharisee. The publican goes up and says to God, "Listen, I thank you that I'm so good. I fast twice a week, I tithes of everything, and I'm much better than that rascal publican over there." And Jesus said, "Who went away justified? Not the Pharisee, but the publican who was lowly." Because why? God resisted the Pharisee. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, James goes on, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Humility in the humble heart is the approach that we must have as we come before God and as we seek to lead the life that he's called us to lead. So pride can cause us to disobey the teachings of Scripture and of the church. Examples might be teachings of the church on fasting. And we decide that we're not going to do it because it seems old-fashioned or archaic or we don't need it. Or we decide we don't need to come to church every Sunday or on high holy days because we deserve some time off or to do other things. Besides, what's a day here or there? And in our pride, we believe that opinion that is contrary to the teachings of the church. Or what's all this confession stuff? And since we didn't do it when I was growing up, that's all that is required. I don't care if the church teaches different. Again, an opinion contrary to the teachings of the church, right, that in our pride we maintain is superior to the knowledge and the teachings of the church. And we can go on and on, be it sexual morality, be it paying our income tax, letting our yes be yes and our no be no. After all, we say these are different times, and in our modern era, we know better. While we may choose to ignore scriptural teachings, we do so at our loss, for it is through the scriptures that we are taught, reproved, and corrected and equipped for the doing of good works. And if we look at Paul writing to Timothy, he writes this in the second letter, in the second chapter. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, they have here in the study Bible, for doctrine, which in other places is translated for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what Scripture does for us. It corrects us. When we read in there that what we hold or what we're doing is wrong and contrary to the teachings of God, then we need to correct ourselves. And the Scripture is there to help us by pointing that out. The author of the Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, admonishes to obey those who are over us spiritually in the church. So we just looked at Scripture and its value to us if we are obedient to its teachings. And now we look at the letter to the Hebrews in the 13th chapter. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So if we rebel against the church, if we will not follow the teachings of the church, who suffers? Us. For that would be unprofitable for you. And so we can see that we have to give up our, if you would, personal heresies. The greatest example of obedience is Jesus himself, as the author of the letter to the Hebrews points out again in the fifth chapter. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected,
He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Jesus obeyed perfectly to the point where he allowed himself to be crucified and die on the cross. And if we are obedient to him and his teachings, both his teachings as we find in Scripture and his teachings from the Bride of Christ, okay, then we will have eternal salvation as promised in the Scriptures. And a reminder of that obedience is always the cross. The end of liturgy, we're going to bring out solemnly the icon of the crucified Christ and put it back on the cross, where it'll stay until next Good Friday, when all of us are here again, God willing. Paul reminds the Romans that by obedience to sound doctrine, they were delivered from their slavery to sin so that they may pursue works befitting salvation. This is what Paul writes to the Romans in the 6th chapter. Do you know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? We're either going to be slaves to sin or slaves to God. And sin will lead to death, we saw. Righteousness is the reward for obedience to God. He goes on to write, but God be thanked that through you, that though, rather, you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us then humble ourselves under the hand of God, by overcoming our pride and submitting ourselves to God under the Scriptures and under the teaching authority of the church, so that in the end we might be exalted by him. And so let us conclude then with Peter's letter, written in a first letter in the 5th chapter. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.